Hey everyone, welcome to the Modern Car Wash Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Zlezik, joined with my guest, host, co-host, Shane Groff. Shane, how are you? Shane's usually in the office with me, but Shane, are you on vacation? What's going on there?
No, I'm in my office at home right now.
Yeah, so for those who aren't watching the video stream of this, Shane is surrounded by, I would call it wood paneling, but I think it's actually wood pine individual pieces of wood. Can you confirm or deny that?
Yeah, it's just stone lumber.
Our guest today is Rob Meng from Faster Lines. Rob, welcome.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to be here. Excited to talk about car wash with you guys today.
Yeah, so our whole spiel or stick is that, you know, it's very modern, it's very technology first, very progressive in the thinking of how car washes are advancing. And Faster Lines seems like it's one of these companies kind of there on the forefront. Can you give us some background on you and also what is Faster Lines?
Yeah, you bet. So first, it actually starts with my dad. I've been getting my feet wet in car washes since pretty much I could walk. My dad started working for Hanna Car Wash way back in the day, one of the original multi-location car wash companies up in Portland, Oregon. He actually was managing a car wash by the time he was 16 years old, which is pretty cool. And a lot of my car wash theory came rubbed off on me from my dad. I spent a lot of time with car washes, but then also selling technology and learning about small improvements making a huge impact in like the call center space. Then about 15 years ago, we were sitting in line at an Auto Bell car wash in Raleigh, North Carolina, and the line wasn't moving. We were just sitting there, like dying in line, waiting to get our car washed. And my wife looked at me and said, you know, the manager should know that this is happening. Like this is, and somebody should be able to tell him that this is happening. And I was like, oh, yeah, somebody should be able to tell him that the line's not moving. That's a good idea. I ended up talking to the owners of Auto Bell, Auto Bell's great. They're a third generation family owned business. Talked to Chuck and Carl Howard and said, do you know you have this issue where the cars don't move into the conveyor and just get stuck and customers are just waiting in line? And they said, we do know we have that problem. And I said, do you know how bad the problem is? And they're like, no. And I said, do you want to know how bad the problem is? Because some people just don't want to know. And luckily, Auto Bell is a great organization. They're really focused on quality process. And so they said they were interested. And we worked together to figure out how to keep track of those cars and tell people when the line wasn't moving. And that ended up helping their managers understand where to put people and how to get people and moving cars. And they wash a lot more cars now because of that. So we've been doing it for 14 years, and it's been great. They're still a customer, and we still help them watch the line.
What's crazy when you think about it is, I mean, that was 14, 15 years ago, and you think of the sense of urgency has only increased. And I'll give you I was in Target the other day, and I always do self-checkout. I think it's the most efficient way to do it. So I get in line, and there's four kiosks. Two of them are not working. There's a woman at the far one, and she had to call the help button three times. The woman closest to me, so the other working kiosk, she had issues, so she had to call the help button. And the whole time, the line's backed up. And, you know, I understand this is Target. I don't know how much business they're losing on this, but I was frustrated. It was annoying, and it's just the world we live in. Like, we want fast processes. So it completely makes sense. And I think in the car wash industry, when you look at it, it's very much, there's probably more competition, involved and customer satisfaction. And, so I'm curious when you went to Auto Bell and you said, hey, do you want to know what effect this is having on it? How are they able to improve their process? And what were the key performance indexes that you looked at that said, hey, this is working?
Yeah. So we looked originally, first of all, we did a lot of status quo we developed the solution first. We tried to use laser and radar and a bunch of different ways of tracking the vehicle. The problem with all those issues was it was a single point. And you know, with the car wash, the car's never in the same place, right? They never stop in the same spot. And so we realized that we had to do video and have an analog shot where we can see multiple cars. So we measure multiple cars. For most of our customers, we're really focused on the cars that are not on the correlator yet. So not the cars that are being prepped or you know, already on the conveyor, but those cars that are waiting in line. And that's really important because we're not looking at the car that's being served. We're looking at those customers who are waiting to be served. And those are the ones who are waiting to be waved at and smiled at and moved forward. And so at first, when we started measuring based on the time frames that Autobill gave us, they were not meeting their time standards 40% of the time. And so that's a lot of cars just sitting, not moving. Within months of identifying, telling the team about it, knowing that they're being measured that way, we were able to get a lot of their locations down into the teens. 14 years later, we've reduced their time standard 8 different times. Each time there's a bump in, you know, number of alerts and number of delays, but then they drive again back down toward that time standard and keep moving the line. So it's we move thousands of additional cars through the line now because of the time standard and because of pushing. And we even did the experiment a while, you know, after a couple of years, and we wanted to know, did people learn, right? Or did you need the system still on, or did people get it and understand? And so Carl and I talked about it, and we turned the system off. We had a software update we were doing, and we turned the system off, which meant that we just quit telling the team about the data, and we kept collecting the data. And it was about a week later, Carl called me. He's like, turn it back on. So all of them went back. Because it's just hard. It's such a focal part. It's a human process. It's a human dynamic. Whether you have auto rollers up, whether you got to punch a button, whether you're prepping or not prepping, there's a part of it that's always human. And that big part of it is acknowledging the customer, waving them up, and getting them to pull forward. And if your team's not focused on that, the car just sits there. And whether it's an extra 2 seconds, whether it's an extra 10 seconds, if you're talking about 10 seconds during the day, you're an exterior-only wash and you're trying to wash 120 cars an hour. Every time that car sits for 10 seconds, that's a third of a car. That happens a couple of times in an hour, and now you've got 6 cars, 7 cars, 10 cars extra that you could have washed if you just pulled people forward and you know, kept that line moving.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you said, like, 10 seconds, a third of a car or whatever it is you know, data is great if you know what to do with it, right? And you can have all the data in the world if you don't know what to do with it. So it sounds like really it was more, there was an accountability aspect to it. You know, here's a metric, let's try and hit it, and let's go and get it. So Shane was, he was telling the story, you know, McDonald's has something very similar to this where, and I'm sure you're aware, you know, it comes up on the screen, and the employee, as the order's filled, they mark it off, and it's a way of just keeping track of it. Well, it's all fine, but when the employee knocks it off just to get off the board, they're kind of gaming the system. And I think we've seen this in other industries as well. But it sounds like kind of your system and how you have it set up, it's more, there's no gaming. You're actually reading the vehicle.
Yep. Well, yeah, it's about the multiple vehicles. If you're just looking at one, the employees can figure out where we're measuring and try and move the car, keep the car further back, which is even worse, right? You want as close spacing as possible. So it's about making sure that you're measuring multiple cars so that there isn't a way to game. Gaming's good. It's just human dynamic. It's trying to get, you know, do positive with how you're being measured. We've definitely figured out how to operationalize the data, help the team know how they're being measured, and then keep them from tricking the system so that, and with car wash, it's great because the answer is it on the conveyor or not? Is the car moving through the car wash or not? It's really difficult to, you know, it's not like drive-through restaurants where you can have a pull forward and then bring that bag out. It's either in the car wash tunnel getting washed or it's not. So it's pretty clear in the car wash area.
What do you think the biggest challenges that operators face as far as keeping the line moving?
Yeah. So there's two. One is we found that there's this kind of magic time around 90 minutes where employees start to kind of fade off. It's a repeating process, right? It's over and over again. You're washing cars, you're moving cars forward, you're acknowledging, you're greeting. Somewhere around 90 minutes, even the best employee starts to lose that, you know, that verve, that excitement. And so it's really important to start to transition people into other places, moving them up, you know, to sales, moving up to greeting, giving them a break, and then getting them dialed in. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there's a lot of focus on sales, right, and monthly passes. And we've helped a lot of our clients figure out how to do that offline, not stop the entire process, stop the entire line for a minute or two while you're processing that monthly pass member, but get them through the wash and actually process that monthly pass on the other end of the car wash, in the vacuum area or in a specific area that you have for monthly pass members. So those are two of the big ones that we see as huge delays. And we have a client that was telling us, well, we need to go to like 90 seconds for their sales area, because we measure sales area. We also measure the entrance end of the car wash tunnel. We're like, no, don't do that, because there's a magic thing that happens at 60 seconds with customers. If they sit there without moving for 60 seconds, only like three bad things can happen. No good things can happen. Only three bad things. The first bad thing is they start doing fuzzy math, and they start looking, and they're like, I'm going to be here forever. There's 10 cars in line. It's going to take me an hour. No, it's not going to take an hour. It's going to take like 6 minutes. Like, but that's not what their perception is. So you start to have a negative perception. Number two, maybe even worse, they pick up their cell phone and they start looking at it. If they do that, then they're not paying attention, and it's going to screw up your flow, and things just slow down. And the last bad thing is they figure out how to get out of line and they leave. And that 60 seconds is a really magical time. And so it's really important, whether they're in the sales area or whether they're, you know, getting ready to go into the car wash tunnel, that they don't have that opportunity to sit there. And no car wash operator wants that anyways. If they're sitting there for 60 seconds, the best you can do is 60 cars an hour, right? You want, almost every car wash wants to be loading the conveyor faster than that. And so that's something that we really focus on. That's something that we help operationalize with the team. And again, it's about us helping serve the data as a service to the team so that they know what's going on, so that they can take that data and help serve their customer that much faster. And when you really focus on the people, you don't use it as a, you know, carrot or sticker. It's really about helping the team know. And once the team knows, they want to do something about it because they know the expectation is to move the line, and it makes a huge impact. Well, not only that, but it's that extra money, that's the gravy, right? The site's already paid for, the power's already paid for, the water's already paid for, you got a little bit of soap, the employee's already there. You pack those extra 10 customers into an hour, that's a huge amount of the actual profitability of the site. That's why we think it's so exciting, because it really adds to that extra top line, that good number.
Rob, do you think there's a maybe like a tipping point for operators in your experience where they're like, you know what, we need to take this serious. Like, we really need to start looking at this.
It's so funny. We just helped serve a client, Fast Track Car Wash, out in Eugene, Oregon. They have two sites. They've been operating for more than 10 years. They've got a great general manager, Ivan, who's out there. He's fantastic. But they were really stuck, and constantly the owners and Ivan were arguing about how many cars can they wash an hour, right? And it's an exterior-only wash. They were averaging about 52 seconds between cars, so they were hardly ever getting the 60 cars an hour. And we sat down, we looked at them. Their wash is set up right. Their chemicals good. The only thing they weren't doing is they were prepping the entire car before they sent the dang car. And so all we talked about was just getting through the driver's door and hitting the button so that the car starts moving, finishing prep while the car's rolling. And now all of a sudden those guys are washing 80, 90 cars an hour. And it's just that little thing. Then the next thing they had to start working on was getting their guy's head from prepping and looking at the car to smiling, waving, and pulling that next customer forward. And so those two little things make all the difference, right? The line starts moving, and now all of a sudden, instead of 60 cars an hour or 50 cars an hour, you're washing 70, 80 cars an hour. And it's a huge improvement. And it's not just the numbers. It's convenience. Speed is convenience. And convenience is customer service. And customer service is customer satisfaction. And we know that they're turning over more of those customers into monthly pass members because the customer's feeling that speed. They're feeling that convenience. And so they're going to come back more often. They're going to end up buying that monthly pass. And then all the stuff Shane was talking about that monthly pass member now is a part of your organization. They're part of your team. They understand the process. They understand they're not going to pick their cell phone up. They're paying attention because they know you're a high performance organization, and they're there to quickly get their car washed and move on so that the other customers can quickly get their car washed and move on. So it's all recursive. It's all good stuff.
Is there a way to leverage technology, your technology or something similar to it, as far as labor management and what's that look like?
Yeah. So that's one of the interesting things, right? So back to AutoBell. AutoBell used to staff Thursdays like they were a slow day, right? Wednesday, Thursdays were kind of their middle of the week, kind of slow. And we started watching the line. We started watching these delays. Well, they were slow because they didn't have any staff. They didn't have anybody moving. They didn't have any focus. And so as soon as we identified that there were delays in line on Thursdays, there was customers who were in line but wanted to be served, they changed their staffing, their scheduling, so that Thursdays were like Fridays. And guess what? They washed a bunch more cars. Their customers were there. They just didn't know. And whether you're a car wash or a drive-through, that's one of the traditional challenges, right? You know, and you can plan, and you can train, and you can schedule based on what you did, what you sold. But you don't really know what the opportunity was. And so if you're looking back at last year in August and the weather's the same, right? You go, oh, well, we washed, 50 cars that hour. But you had 60 or 70 cars that were there that wanted to get washed. You just didn't move them through the line. And so when we start to actually identify delay, we match that up with scheduling, and we start to turn up that knob, right? The operator, the owner, the management team starts to understand, oh, we can invest for another greeter. We can invest for another prep. We can invest somebody else out there to help move the line, because if we invest that extra person, we're going to wash 10 more cars. And so that hour, it makes sense to put that person out there. Vice versa, we had a customer, it was actually a drive-through customer that was out in Omaha, Nebraska, and they were doing breakfast. And they started breakfast at 8, and we did the math. They weren't serving any customers breakfast. So they had this whole team there to do breakfast, and they just had this minuscule number of customers they were serving. And so we did the opposite. They could invest those hours into their busy lunch and dinner time and quit wasting man hours on the time that they're not busy. So both of those end up feeding into the schedule. Schedule's a huge impact for what we do, and then training, and then process improvement after that. And those are kind of the three steps to really dialing it in and getting the most out of that location, that district, that region, and driving it forward.
Seems like... when I look at some technology companies that have come into the car wash industry, and I think a lot of it is, entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, put their finger in there and they're like, oh, car wash, look out, like this industry is growing. But you've been in it for quite some time. You've kind of the recent boom. Have you found other applications though, or other industries that are similar, where that, things like this apply?
Yeah, so we actually started watching people about 6 years ago. And so we have moved into restaurant, hospitality, oil change. So we're seeing all of those, but really it all comes back to car wash. Car wash gave us a really unique opportunity. The restaurant industry, and like we talked about McDonald's and their little board on the wall that shows time, they were all focused on a time from order to delivery and this total time of service, which is really difficult for employees to understand. We do it differently, and we started with car wash, and so it made sense. We broke it down for flow, and we were looking for how many opportunities there were for the car to move forward and how many times the car had to move and how far that had to move in order to get your flow and get your line moving correctly. And so instead of this like 300 seconds of total time of service, which is difficult for an employee to understand, we talk about this delay metric where if a car sits for too long beyond our time standard, we've missed an opportunity. And that delay metric is a really much easier operational point to manage employees to. We talk to a bunch of Starbucks employees and McDonald's employees and all over the place with these timers that were on the wall. And you'd go, what is that? And they go, I don't know. That's something my manager deals with. That's something my district manager deals with. You'd be like, what's 256 seconds? I have no idea. I don't even know what that means. Like, all right. But when you have, we actually put a 10-inch screen up, you know, at the entrance into the car wash tunnel, and it tells you how many times there was delays. And delays turn into missed cars. And it's just a clear, really easy number for them to understand. We change the color so that they can see it. But as you look and you're like, oh, I've had 10 delays in the last hour. That means I missed three cars I could have washed. That's a big deal. And they understand it. They can get their hands around it. And you can really talk to it. And then the most important thing is having that expectation, having that conversation with your team so that they know what that means and what our goal is and why we're trying to move cars at that time. And that it's not just about making money. It's that, again, speed is convenience and convenience is service and service is how we serve our customers. And that conversation really resonates. It helps people understand why we're doing what we're doing.
So how would you define a delay? What's a delay look like?
So a delay is any time the car's just sitting, not moving, right? So the ideal car wash is your conveyor's set to their perfect speed and everything's working and every car just rolls with that, you know, that 3-foot spacing and the thing just keeps moving and infinitum, right? It just keeps rolling through the tunnel and the tunnel's set up the right way and everything and you end up with clean cars at the other end. But that's not reality because there's a human dynamic, whether it's the customer in the car hitting their brake and not paying attention, whether it's the employee not pulling them up and making them feel, you know, seen and identified and move forward. And so anytime that there's that stop and you're missing that time when that car is just sitting there, not moving, that's when everything breaks down. That's when things aren't working correctly. And it's when the customer starts to identify, oh, how long am I sitting here? And if anybody's just sat for 60 seconds in complete silence, it feels like an eternity. It's so long. And we've all felt it, right? That's the cool thing about what we do is it's universal. We've all sat in drive-thrus, you know, waiting for your coffee, waiting for your burger, and you're like, how long am I going to sit here without moving? This is driving me insane. That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're trying to fix every day is helping people realize, okay, let's move the line. Let's serve the customer a little bit better. Let's take care of our clients the way we need to. And that's what we do. And we do it, again, as data as a service. So we don't have to install a whole new video system. We come in and implement it. We put our box in. We put our sensors in, we collect the data, we give the data to the team real time, we collect it up and help you guys analyze it, help the client analyze it. Because there's a lot of technology out there, but we've already helped customers replace bad technology where they bought boxes and the boxes showed up and then they were expected to do it, right? Nobody's got time to do that. Nobody's got time to go implement anything. They're managing their business. They're washing their cars. They're managing their employees. They're adding headcount. They're doing all those things. So when we can come in and we can tell you, hey, for $7 a day, we manage all this. And that $7 turns into $70, $80, $90, $100 a day in cars washed. And let our team be an extension of your team so that we can focus on that and you can keep focusing on taking care of customers. That's how it works.
So the cynic in me looks at this and not just yours, just the, you know, and we go back to the McDonald's story and the employee gaming the system, right? So now I've implemented some sort of metric, some sort of standard of we need to have X amount of cars rolled through or, you know, we're only allowed one delay. It's possible you could have the inverse effect where now the employees are so focused on it that they're not going to take the time to actually stop and talk to the customer who has a question, have them stop, where now they're just full focus on, I got to get these cars going through. So it's certainly a balancing act in that sense.
Yeah, I think that balancing act really plays out the most during the sales process. Not so much the entrance into the car wash tunnel. We don't see that. Every once in a while, a customer will stop, roll their window down and ask a question. That's not a huge delay point. Usually what we see is that those questions happen in the sales process. And that's where you need to start to identify, are we doing two lanes or is there three lanes? Is there room for three lanes? And designing your process at the beginning so that you don't have these funnels that stop, right? So if we have enough room on our lot, can we do three lines of selling so that if we do have a monthly pass or we do have a customer with questions, we can spend that time and talk to them, but it doesn't have to cut down on our 120 cars an hour that we're trying to process. And there's always there's always that struggle, but for too long the struggle has always been on the side of let's wait and let's waste time and let's spend too much time with every customer and let's reduce throughput. Whereas now we can measure it and we can start to make intelligent decisions. Like we change our menu board. Ooh, that confused customers. It takes them an extra 30 seconds to process our transaction. Or we change our credit card readers and all of a sudden it's extra 19 seconds every time we do a credit card transaction. Let's have the data so that we can make those decisions, so we can see where there's places for process and improvement. Before, there wasn't the data. And so you just have to rely on how many customers do we serve? And that's not the whole story. The story is how many customers wanted to be served. And the last thing, especially for car washes, it's about the golden hours. It's not about every hour. It's about the golden hours. It's about those 2 or 3 hours every day where you have the most customers who want to be served. It's probably not 2 o'clock in the afternoon, unless maybe that's on a Saturday. It's about making sure we're optimizing our system and we're optimizing our training and we're optimizing our team so that when there are those opportunities to wash 100 cars, we're ready to do it and we can execute and we actually do that.
So we've talked about this issue on the podcast before is that it's an exciting time if you're really into technology and really into the good that artificial intelligence could have. In that sense, where do you see AI in the car wash industry having a positive effect in the next year, 5 years, et cetera?
There's some things I didn't think were going to be possible that are becoming possible. Things like identifying collision opportunities in the car wash tunnel is something that's happening today with other tools, which are great. I see in the future, and we're already working with some of our clients on some solutions around damage claims and seeing some anomalies there. I think that there will be more and more opportunity to figure out where people are and when they're in the right spot and when they're not. So I think those are the things that are on the near horizon just within the next couple of years. Another thing that our data point does is push people back into their video system, right? And so there's that bridge between the data, the AI, and then the actual people. And when we take our data and we say, hey, there was issues happening, and a manager or district manager goes into the video system and they actually go watch what was happening, you get this human dynamic where you're like, oh, this is the problem. This is how I go talk to my people. This is how I use this as game film and go change what we're doing. And so that's that bridge between the technology and the people, and that's how you make it work the best, is using it to make that human interaction better, to make the team know what's happening, what's supposed to be happening, and what isn't happening. And so it's exciting. It's an exciting time. Other things that I think will happen in the near future is potentially more interaction between systems like video systems and the actual car wash controller, right? Right now, so much is manual. Like if I want to change how many rollers I'm sending and how fast the conveyor is actually going, I could really see long-term something where the data is feeding the car wash controller and you have a maximum speed of the conveyor and maybe a minimum speed of the conveyor, and you're moving between those things throughout the course of the day so that you're maximizing the throughput, but still not taking away from the quality of the actual wash output.
Shane, Innovated has, go ahead.
Our tunnel controller does adjust the conveyor throughout the day, basically about every 200 milliseconds, based on coming from the point of sale.
I think other industries have come in and influenced car wash. Car wash is growing in such so dynamically that I see it starting to go the other way, where people are starting to see car wash and some of the expertise that the folks in car wash have, and driving it in to, you know, the drive-through space and some of these other spaces. And it's exciting to see because you can't just take somebody out of like a McDonald's and pop them into a car wash and have that be successful, right? I've seen a bunch of organizations try and do that, and it has not been usually a recipe for massive improvement or success. In fact, sometimes it's the other way. And so it is. It's a different animal. Car wash is a different animal, and you really do have to have your feet. You got to get your feet wet. You got to get into a tunnel and understand what's going on, what the customer experience is, before all the data and all this other stuff can really, you know, come into play and make huge and positive impact.
Rob, in the last probably 5 years, Hoffman Car Wash, we've made a transition to go more kiosk, pay station focused. I'm curious if you've seen, does that increase throughput, or is that actually hindrance?
Yeah, so it depends. I'm a person who believes you have to have two or three lanes if you're going to automate. There is a risk of not having that human interaction. I think you have a lot of folks that end up putting in kiosks and they still man them, and so then you have a question: okay, am I manning a kiosk and there's still a person there? And one of the benefits used to be that we talked about was reducing your payroll and stuff, but now all of a sudden you're like, oh, am I doing that? I don't know. It's also a lot about design, right? Like, how am I interfacing with the customer, whether it's human or whether it's on the screen? What are they seeing? How simple is it? How easy is it? How comfortable are they? And then how does that impact my transition to monthly passes, which is such a critical part of our industry at this point? So let me give you an example. We're working with Zaxby's in the Southeast, which is a great chicken chain. They average 35 seconds at the order speaker box with their menu. You put the tablets out there to start line busting during their busy hours, and they average closer to 60 seconds per order. And the reason is pretty easy. There's no menu. It's really difficult. The employee has to be way more engaged with the conversation and talking. Yeah, they still have their regulars who show up and they want their chicken sandwich. They know exactly what they want, and it's still 35 seconds, but a bunch of the customers do not take 35 seconds. And so now all of a sudden you have to have two tablets out there instead of one speaker box. You have to orchestrate that correctly so it's working properly with the human dynamic. And so there's no perfect answer to that. Sometimes that human dynamic is better. Sometimes your pay station unmanned is a great option and works great, but there's somewhere in between. And the most important thing I would say is whether it's a system like mine or just watching the video or going back and seeing, you got to go look at what's happening. You have to go watch the transaction. You have to go see what the customer's experiencing and where there's those choke points that are making a negative impact. And then you got to get their sander out. You got to buff those edges. You got to take the sharp out of there so that they can be comfortable as they're going through the process. And it makes it as easy as possible for them to go, this is great. I need to do this once a week. Let's be a monthly pass member. Let's go, right? And that's what you're looking for on the whole thing, whether it's the processing the transaction, the interaction with the employee, loading into the conveyor, making them comfortable that the correlator's big enough and that their tires aren't going to get, like, all those things are those friction points that keep the customer from feeling confident that they're going to want to come back over and over again. And those are all the things you got to buff out and fix. And we love our data because we help customers see those human impact points that need the sander, that need to get buffed out, that need to get smooth, so that we do, that we increase that speed, we can increase that convenience, and the customer goes, ah, this is great. I got to do this all the time. This is wonderful.
All right, Rob, we've taken up probably too much of your time, but I do got to ask, because we asked all our guests this, is basically, what are you binge watching right now?
Oh, man. I have two real things that I love to watch when I've got time to watch TV. I love Alone, and I'm watching Alone. I just got done with one of their new seasons, and they're doing Alone Australia. So I really dig that. I like watching the human condition play out and what people are doing, right? And suffering a little. Oh, that's terrible. Anyways. And then I'm a big fan of, watching chefs compete. So I watch a lot of Top Chef and really enjoy that as well. So those are my two favorites.
It's my I have a 7-year-old, and it's not that she's like crazy in the Barbie, but you know, the whole Barbie craze is happening right now. So we just started watching like Extreme Makeover, like Barbie Edition. But the reason I brought it up was one of the chefs from Top Chef is on that show. And I'm like, why is she on this show? But anyways.
That's so crazy. That's
great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I love it.
I just finished watching Netflix has a series. It's called, I think it's called Untold. And it looks at different sports events. And the Johnny Manziel one was pretty fascinating because I did not like him. I didn't like his whole being. And his arrogance, but like watching it, you kind of have a different appreciation for how good he was and like just the struggle that he was going through. Like,
oh, I'm gonna have to check that out. Yeah, that sounds really great. Yeah, he's a really interesting character. I did watch another one that's really interesting called Just 1 Mile. And look that one up, Just 1 Mile. I think it's on Prime right now, and it's a documentary about a race that's a single mile. But they keep running it until the last person run it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's pretty remarkable. Again, it's that human condition, right? So those people watching people go through this challenge and push themselves. That's and it's what we do in car wash every day, right? It's what you're literally you're struggling, and it's the end, and you're like, I just gotta get to the end of the day, and then we can go fix that wrap, or we can go deal with this issue, and I can go get a drink and all that. So that human condition is always something really fun to watch.
Just one more car.
Just one more. That's right.
Rob, thank you so much. This was great. Great insight. Wish you all the best. And thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it. Guys can check out fasterwines.com and see a little bit more about what we're passionate about. And this was a great conversation. I love talking car wash. And Kevin and Shane, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.